From Everbank Field in Jacksonville, this is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
A live look inside Everbank Field where the Jaguars are looking at yesterday's game in Nashville. A 42-39 loss to the Tennessee Titans. And welcome to Jaguars.com Live presented by Everbank. J.P. Shadrick, John Osier, Brian Sexton will take you up to Gus Bradley's press conference scheduled for 1 o'clock today, as always, the day after the Jags play. And it was a tough one yesterday, guys. The offense played very well, but the defense, the special teams faltered. We'll get to all that coming up. But let's start with the, I guess, the one that sticks out the most to you, and it's that special teams again. The extra points, the missed extra points, two of them. After the first one, the head coach Gus Bradley decided to go for two to try to chase the points early. That didn't work. And then another missed extra point later. Things just went downhill from there.
Yeah, and we can certainly talk about it, the topic. Defense, to me, far more of an issue.
Absolutely.
But you got to make kicks. Right. And it's six now this year. It's three in the last 2 weeks. And I sort of got the Indianapolis game, 48-53. You got to make those in this league, but still a little tough. You got to make extra points, Brian.
Agreed.
Yeah.
At that point, though, I still wouldn't pull the trigger on this kid.
No.
Because you're at a point in the season now where, I mean, let's be honest, you playoffs, and that's right. All off to the side. You didn't make the surge that you wanted to. The kid's got a leg. The kid's putting the ball in the end zone consistently. Find out how mentally tough he is over the last month of the season. Because you go out and bring some guy in. Yeah, Joe Smith might kick you a 32-yard extra point,
right,
but he's going to miss the 53-yard field goal like the one that this kid hit for you in Baltimore that,
right,
gave you a win. So I don't know that pulling the trigger on him is going to do any good for anyone.
At this point, there is a feeling of toward what end if you make that sort of a move. At the same time, boy, do I get why fans are frustrated, because this one yesterday, and again, I don't know that it's been easy to point the finger at him for the loss. And 3 points, and you were chasing the whole game, and then 3 points at the end, you're
back in.
Someone's
pointing the finger at the kicker for the loss?
Well, you...
Oh, I wouldn't.
3 point game, three.
Well, no, I mean, I get it.
Missed.
I get it. But, they still were in the darn game, and Wisniewski put the ball a mile over the quarterback's head. I mean, if you're going to point fingers at one person, why not there?
Because 3 points in a 3 point game.
Yeah, but still, they had the 4 point lead before that.
Right. Let's get to the defense, though. Like you said, that was really the big key to yesterday's game. It was a frustrating game defensively for this Jags team. 467 yards allowed. That's the second most this season. The Patriots game is still the high watermark, but only by 4 yards now that the Patriots outgained the Titans against the Jaguars. 210 rush yards. That's the most the Jags have given up this year. That's skewed a bit by Mariota's long run. But overall, this defense just didn't play well.
Yeah, and I smiled when you said why they point fingers at the,
Well, no, I understand why they are, but
I emphasized defense 95% of my coverage this morning. Defense was the main issue. And what, I guess, that shocked me, for lack of a better word, I was really surprised that it felt like the Titans were able to control the ball running at times. And I didn't expect that from this defense. That's the first time since Tampa Bay that I felt that. Pass rush was still the overwhelming issue, but they let themselves into bad field position situations by not being able to stop the run, even outside the Mariota.
Well, and Gus will give you the numbers, I'm sure, how many missed tackles there were, because Lesney and Cyprian both missed tackles in situations where they could have controlled the run.
There were too many.
Yeah, way too many. Yeah, exactly. The lack of the pass rush, though, really stands out, because, they sent everybody after him on third and eight deep in his own territory. And the reason you don't see this team blitz, they don't have the guys to get there.
Right,
they're not good at it. The one guy who can get home on a regular basis is Telvin Smith, but you send him up the field and Mariota gets by someone else.
Right.
Well, you don't have that guy in center field who can run him down.
Aaron Colvin can do it too, but it's hard to make a living.
Well, and Aaron had a bad ankle going into yesterday's game. So
interesting stat, JP. And I think every drive that the Titans scored on, they converted a third and six or longer.
Yeah.
Well, that happens in the NFL.
Yeah.
But that is a telling statistic that has been going on all season, because this pass rush can't get home with four. When you can't get home with four, you put yourself in bad situations in the back end when you blitz. I sound like a broken record, but that's the thing. That's the deal.
And the lack of the pass rush also exaggerates the lack of Earl Thomas in your secondary. You know, that hard-hitting free safety that they have in Seattle who could get up and stop the run, but also was a center fielder who cleaned up a lot of mistakes in coverage, was a guy who could really run. They tried to go get him in Devin McCourty. They tried to draft him in James Sample. It hasn't happened yet. But when you don't have that pass rush, all of a sudden now everybody's on an island, and it's tough. John Cyprian covering a tight end is not an ideal matchup. You want him playing Cam Chancellor. You want him in the box.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a look at Mariota's day yesterday. 20 of 29 passing, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. Carried the ball 9 times, 112 yards, including an 87-yard touchdown run. That's the longest run in the National Football League this year by any player. And, of course, now the Jags defensively are 23rd in the league overall in yardage allowed. And, as you said, John, struggled with third downs all year. They're last in the league in third down percentage allowed. Not so good.
It's not surprising. And sometimes stats don't make sense, Brian, but sometimes they do. And that one makes perfect sense to me because if you can't, you know, on first and second down, on every drive the Titans scored, they did a good enough job on first and second down at some point in the drive to set themselves up where you would normally think watching a team, you know, as you're covering it, okay, good chance here to get off the field. They did that. That's what you want to do on first and second down this league. You're not going to have second and 12, third and 12 all the time. You want to get them in third and not manageable. Third and six and longer, supposed to be able to get off the field. And 5 times they had a conversion. 2 of them touchdowns on 3rd and 7.
And 2 of them in the second half in particular stand out. 1, with 3:05 left to play in the third quarter, John Cyprian was called for defensive holding.
Yep.
They had him off the field, and they were going to be punting from their own side of the field. Well, that turned into points, right? And then the other one was the touchdown to Doriel Green-Beckham, which was 3rd down and what?
Right.
10? 3rd down and 11?
Yeah.
And it was the first play of the fourth quarter. And
right.
I just stood there and watched because I was down in the end zone where he scored, and Mariota had so much time. I mean, it was just 1,000, 2,000. He just could stand there. I mean, it was rookie quarterbacks don't get that kind of time generally.
Right.
They send everybody after him, but it was just pick him off. It was souvenir touchdowns for his guys because he had all the time in the world to throw.
Silly me, I went to use the restroom.
Oh, you missed that one, did you?
Happened quick enough that I heard it, though, in the loudspeaker.
Yeah, well,
it didn't sound much better.
The hard part about this is that I was on the sideline talking to Kavanaugh. You know, I was going to, hey, watch this. If this touchdown pass, you know, from Bortles is good, then all of a sudden, you know, he's got the franchise record. And on here, you know, you've got Allen Robinson who could, with another one, set the franchise record, and he does it. You know, we're talking about all these good things that are happening on the offensive side of the ball, and they're answering. And yet, here we are today talking about defense.
Well, let's talk about that offense a little bit. Well, Gus Bradley's coming up. 1 o'clock, we'll carry that live. But a lot of good things on offense. Fixed the red zone issue at least yesterday, right?
Holy
six
God.
For six in the red zone. They made a point of emphasis all week long in practice.
They should emphasize more things.
Not just red zone, huh?
No, I mean, I'm kidding about that. Obviously, they were not as tragically deficient in the red zone, or you wouldn't be able to fix it quickly. They felt like they had a good plan. Even the week before, they had scored on a 21-yard pass to Julius Thomas. So they had some stuff that they knew would work, but 6 of 6, I had to actually, at one point I was tweeting that stat, and I had to tweet it out, because when it got to 6 for 6, I haven't seen this team score 6 touchdowns.
Oh, right.
Right.
In a long time.
And then all of them
get them all
zone.
In the red zone. So it was
and
almost
five of them
those
were passes.
Where, yeah. And it's one of those where you look at it and you're like, okay, I know that's right, but I need to go back and check and make sure they scored 6. Because 6 is many.
It is. It is a high number.
It's a high number
offense,
for an offense.
Certainly this offense.
Most points in franchise history in a loss, I believe.
Yeah, it's not a good thing,
the
loss issue. The points, yes, not the loss. This was a game of single-season records broken. As you said, Brian, passing touchdown mark shattered by Bortles. On a second touchdown pass, he surpassed it, threw 3 more after that. 11 touchdowns now for Allen Robinson. He had 3 yesterday, and that now surpasses Lewis and Williams for the franchise record for a single season. And Bortles is on pace still to reach Brunell's yardage mark. He's just over 1,000 yards away with, 4 games to go. That could happen. So
he needs 274 a game in order to hit that record. And he'll also get the completions and attempts.
Right.
Sure. And we can break down both guys. Allen Robinson, it was interesting. When I talked to him last week about the 1,000-yard thing, I talked to him for maybe 5 minutes about it, and he wasn't really enthusiastic about it. And on Sunday, I kind of figured out why. He didn't think 1,000 is that big of a deal. I think he has higher goals, higher expectation, higher talent level than that, knows that's not big of a deal. So, you know, I don't know what his numbers are going to be, but he's on his way to being possibly elite. I didn't know before this season if he could be elite. I think he can.
Well, he's got 400-yard games, two with at least 150 yards and two touchdowns. He's on track now for, I think, 85 catches, 1,400 yards, 14, 15 touchdowns. I mean, again, that's you're projecting what he's going to do based on what he did. But the sheer fact of the matter is that when they wanted to connect,
right,
when Bortles wanted Robinson, he could get him, and it hasn't been since Jimmy Smith was here,
right,
that you had a receiver quarterback that could do that. And so
beyond the stats, he took over the game for a while,
yep,
and they haven't had an offensive player as a receiver who, you know, I don't really recall. I covered Jimmy a long time, and he's not Jimmy's class. Jimmy's an elite all-time guy, but Allen's physicality and that ability in the red zone to go get the ball, that's different now.
Well, you know, the most touchdowns Jimmy Smith ever scored in a season was 8.
Right.
So, you know, Jimmy was elite getting down the field. And, you know, in 1999, he had 1,636 and 8, right? 116 catches. And he was elite. But I wouldn't write Robinson's ability off. He doesn't have that big-time speed.
No.
But if he's a 1,400-yard, 15-touchdown guy,
you'll take
I put him in Jimmy Smith's class.
No doubt.
Got to do it a lot.
Got to do it a lot.
Well, that's it, and that's what Jimmy did.
Right.
The top five seasons right now are all above where Allen is, and four of those are Jimmy Smith.
Let's talk quarterback.
Yeah, let's talk quarterback. Blake Bortles, 58% passing. That's 30th in the National Football League, but the yardage is up there above 3,200 yards now, and, of course, 27 touchdowns. Five touchdowns yesterday. Mm-hmm. Career best day in terms of touchdowns for Bortles. Moving the offense, getting them in the red zone, and scoring when they got in the red zone.
Well, and out of all the plays, touchdown passes to Allen were impressive. The one that was impressive to me was the one to Julius.
Yeah.
Where for the last few games, there's been more and more plays from Blake. And Julius has been involved with this. I think he helps. Where you could tell Blake wasn't really thinking out there. The play was called play action, I think it was. And he knew he was going to have Julius. And no matter what the matchup was, he was going to go there. And Julius won a matchup for the second time in a couple of games where he was better than his guy. And that helps the quarterback a great deal. I think that really helps Blake in the red zone.
You know, he's so self-aware, as we found out after the Titans game when he told Deion Sanders on NFL Network, in order for this team to go where it needs to go, I need to stop throwing interceptions. It took him another game, right? I like to listen to him on the sidelines and the way that he interacts with his teammates and the way that he grabs a situation and talks to his offensive line as they're walking on the field. Nothing rattles him. He's so cool, calm, and collected. We'll see if his teammates can rise to that standard because it's important.
Let's go down the hall and get the injury update and then Gus Bradley on a Monday.
All right, Monday injury update for you. We'll start with Allen Hurns. So Allen continues to progress through the NFL's concussion protocol. We'll have an update for his status on Wednesday before practice. Rashad Green sustained a shoulder sprain and will be reevaluated later this week. With running back Bernard Pierce, he was ruled out yesterday medically with that same calf injury, so he'll continue to be on the injury report throughout this week. On the defensive side of the ball, with Paul Posluszny, Puz has a right hand fracture. Medical staff is continuing to evaluate the injury management options for him moving forward. For quarterback Aaron Colvin, so he had experienced some inflammation in his ankle pregame yesterday. They did some testing. He was able to go, but you'll see him on the injury report this week with that ankle stuff, if anything comes back up with it. For defensive end Ryan Davis, Ryan has a knee contusion, landed directly on it during the game yesterday, so he'll also be on the injury report this week. And then with Dan Scuda, it's that, you know, the same groin injury, so if anything changes, we'll update his status on Wednesday. And if you guys have medical questions, if you guys direct them to me, we'll do our best to get them answered for you.
Does Hurns do anything like over the weekend? Does he get tested, or do you just wait until
it's ongoing? Week? It's yeah.
He does get tested
yeah.
Daily
I'm not sure about the daily stuff, but it doesn't change because of game day or anything.
Okay. He's not tested.
No.
Not
to make any decision on that.
There he is.
Hey, what's up?
What's
up? Okay, looking back at tonight's game,
Yeah, I mentioned about that it hurts, and it still does, I think, with our team as far as going through stuff. I thought there were some good things. I'm pointing out offensively. I thought offensively it was probably our most complete game of the year. I think Blake played very well. I really liked the mix of what we did. I think after the end of the first half, there was 27 plays, something like that, and there was 13 run and 14 passes. I think that helped us overall, getting the run game going, at least trying to establish it. But, very pleased with the offensive line as far as protection and just the way they blocked in the run game. I thought, you know, you could see it working up the second level, holding on their blocks, just creating some seams. I thought TJ played very well. Did very good in the run game, and his protections really showed up. And then with the receivers, you know, obviously Allen Robinson played very well. Julius did some things. He was the second most targeted guy. I'd like to get him more opportunities. I know he got the one in the red zone. But just overall very pleased with the offense performance. Special teams, coverage units, seeing improvement there. I thought our coverage teams did a good job. We're seeing more strain and guys getting down the field, the accuracy, the hang time, things like that were good signs. So as well as the coverage and the kickoff team. Kickoff return, Denard Robinson got going a little bit. It was good to see him. I thought he hit it very well. Punt return, Rashad did a nice job as well for the one that he had. Defensively, you know, now the big thing is I think that we come to understand that in this game you're going to have high-scoring games. And I think that, you know, when that happens, I go back to the Buffalo game. You know, defensively played very well. You know, he's got to pick up the pace, hold on and do some things and create opportunities for the offense to come along. And there's going to be games like that. It was vice versa this game. I thought the defense struggled. Offensively did some good things, although we started out 3 and out. You know, defensively, some of the things that we're battling in the third down and red zone, where I thought we made really good improvement offensively in those two areas, 71% in third down offensively, red zone 6 for 6. We didn't see that same improvement with the emphasis on defense. You know, I think over the course of time this year that our defense has done a good job versus the run game. You know, and I think, you know, the quarterback had a big run yesterday against us. But I think over the course of time, the run game, pretty pleased with how that's operating. The pass game continues to be a struggle. It doesn't matter if it's first, second, or third down, although it really shows up on third down. We're trying to figure out, you know, it's all about rush and cover. And, you know, right now we're not putting that together right now. If we've got to send more guys on pressure, it's hard for us to hold up with the coverage. If we're playing, you know, with extra guy in coverage, and then we're not getting the pressure that we need. So it's that, you know, that's really the hard thing right now that we're looking at and trying to figure it out.
Options at middle linebacker?
Right now it would be Tripp.
How do you feel he's come along learning that spot?
Well, he did good. You know, the thing with him, we put him in yesterday at Otto. I think somewhere in the second quarter, third quarter, we put him in there. And he's going to get, you know, he's kind of our swing guy. But I do like his demeanor. I like how he handles it. He's really sharp. And I think if he can lock into Mike and play that position, then hopefully it'll progress even faster.
Was Thurston benched before performance at the Otto yesterday?
Yeah, I think that we just felt like we needed more out of that position.
Responds to that now that he may be getting another shot?
Oh, I think he'll respond. I think he'll respond. He went in there and it wasn't that he didn't play anymore. You know, he was in there in goal line situations. So I think it's just more of a heightened awareness of what we expect out of that position.
Yesterday's defensive struggles, would you attribute to the coaching staff at all?
Well, I don't, you know, I think that as a coaching staff, we're trying to figure it out. I mean, we ran 3-man, 4-man, 5-man, 6-man, different style of pressures, and we're trying to find out what works. And I think that we look at it and say, with that, is that taken away from us playing fast? And I think we had, 16 missed tackles yesterday. And I think that we're competing to try to figure out what works best for our guys. We've got some good players, and right now we're not playing fast. And I think that's what we need to take a look at more than anything.
How did it get this bad defensively? Like, how have you gotten in your third year to this point?
Well, you mean like what took place yesterday?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think it's the, you know, the ability to win on third down. You know, that's a big part, because even in the red zone, we didn't win on third down on one occasion. So, you know, that's the part that we're looking at. And a lot of it has to do with tying those two together, the rush and coverage and, you know, the different styles of pressures. The takeaways that we got yesterday were both on pressures. So we're looking at, we're saying, I think there was two pressures off of, we had the takeaways, and then there was, you know, there's 13 pressures for 5 yards or less, and then there's four pressures for 152 yards. You know, it's like one or the other, you know, where it's hit and miss. And I think I mentioned that before when we were saying, hey, Gus, how do you try to find pressure? How do you find ways to pressure the quarterback? Well, when you pressure the quarterback and you blitz, you're going to come up with some big plays, and you may give up some explosives. And that's what's happening. That's what's happening to us. And, you know, the one just happened to be, you know, at that point in time, I think we were up, 9 minutes left to go in the game, 32-28, and he runs an 87-yard touchdown run off of a pressure. You know, that's can be damaging.
You continue to get nothing out of Branch and Clemens. Do you? What's your patience level with those two right now?
Yeah,
I can't
argue that fact. I mean, when we're looking at the Leo spot, what we're getting out of the Leo the last couple of weeks, we need to try to find a way to get more. And however we do it, whether it's through pressure, through rotations, through, you know, looking at Chris Smith, through, you know, we just got to look at it to challenging me more. And, we've got to find a way. Through us as a coaching staff, put them in a better position, straining, you know. But you're right. I think overall the Leo spot, what we're hoping to get out of that position, we're not getting exactly what we want.
Neither of those two guys are going to be here next year. So why not make a move?
Well, I that's not my decision. I can't say that.
You determine who plays it.
No, I mean as far as who's going to be here.
Well, but we all, I mean, it's kind of obvious that neither of those guys are going to be here.
Well, I think for me and for us as a coaching staff is to find a way to get them to be more productive and find ways that we can be. And I know that's shop talk or however you want to say it, but you're right. We got to challenge them more, and if it's through competition or what, and Chris Smith did a good job, pretty good job last week. We got to continue to challenge him. He was not up this week for a variety of reasons, none due to him. We got to get more production out of there.
Follow on that theme, you challenged Devon Hauser this year. You, Grotz, other guys, free safety, moving in guys in and out, saying they needed to respond to a challenge. Branch and Clemens continue to get a jersey, and they do absolutely nothing. Do you feel you risk alienating the rest?
I would say that it's not that they don't absolutely do nothing. They've done some good things in the run game. The pass game is where we haven't seen as much production as we need out of that. So, yeah, to challenge them in different ways, I mean, that's a conversation we'll have as a coaching staff, you know, and talk to both of them and, you know, really all of them. So, I mean, they're hurting just as much, too. They want to try to find a way to become more productive. We were close on occasion, but, we've got to find a way, whether it's through games, through, you know, different alignments, things like that. We've got to find a way to get more production.
A couple guys said that they were defensively, you were slow to line up at a couple of times yesterday. Did you notice that?
They did a lot of shifting, you know, multiple man shifts, you know, with two tight ends. So with that, without getting too much into scheme, that causes us to readjust some things. So I would say the D-line, I thought, did a pretty good job. There were some at some other positions where we were a little bit slower. No, I didn't see it because of that. There was they had the running backs had 98 yards rushing. The quarterback had over 100 yards rushing. You know, the quarterback was an issue for us yesterday.
Mariota did really well against the Raiders, against the blitz. What made you guys feel more comfortable blitzing against him this week?
Well, I think because we felt like we had to find a way to get pressure on him. You know, our sacks and our turnovers came off of pressure. And this game was no different. The two turnovers that we've got were both off of pressure. So it was a way to get the ball back for our offense.
The concussion stuff with Hearns, from the time you got here to the time now, how much more educated had you been in terms of when to expect these guys to be ready?
Well, I don't know if you can – when to expect them might be a hard one. I don't know if I'm – I know the different stages and that you can have two of the stages done in one day. You know, that part of the knowledge is, better, obviously, going through it. But everybody's different, and everybody's situation is handled different as far as when to expect them back.
So different you know, you bore some patience with that, whereas before it was,
yes.
5 days.
Yeah, I think that, you know, first and foremost is the player's health. That's first and foremost. Number two, though, I would say is that going through the protocol, is it the same for everybody? Maybe that's how it was in the early stages. Now we're understanding, I'm understanding at least why it's different.
Would there be a benefit with four games left to see what Wash or Walker can do calling the defense and giving them that responsibility?
Well, I don't think, you know, like I said, you know, when we go in there and meet, and the meet as a defensive coaching staff, is to try to find ways to put our guys in better position to make plays. And whether it's through pressures, whether it's through different alignments, things like that, we're all going through the same battle. So it's not necessarily the call. It's the same thing. You know, we go up there, it's on the board, we kind of decide how we're going to do it and how we're going to go about it, and then you just got to play. I think it's, you know, more that I don't think fundamentally we were as good as we have been in other games. You know, the tackling issue, I think we're, if not, one of the lowest teams in missed tackles. But I've seen it cleaned up the last couple weeks, but it showed up again yesterday. And I don't know if we're at the team that we have defensively with adding more things. We've added more pressures. We've added more coverage concepts. I don't know if that's slowing us down. Because of that, if it's not allowing us to play fast, and by us not playing fast, you're seeing more missed tackles and missed assignments, and it's coming back to haunt us. I think that's more the issue.
Why does that play into the missed tackles? Because by then the guy has the ball and stuff.
No, but you might be out of leverage. You might be out of position. If you're supposed to be 2 yards outside the hash, you're 4 yards outside the hash, you know, based on different concepts that you're doing. So it can put you in bad leverage.
How much of a concern was it for you yesterday when the Titans, who are not a particularly good running team, were able to just line up and just, all or nothing play and just basically score fairly easily? I mean, Paz had a little bit of a chance.
Yeah, on the goal line. You're talking about right before the half. Yeah, they did a good job. They opened. We got cut on the backside. Our defense lineman got cut. And, that's part of it. But you got a one-on-one tackle with Puz, but it shouldn't be one-on-one. Opportunity there. You know, it's one play, and you got to make that play. And they did it. They were more physical at that point than we were.
What have you done defensively that has worked? I mean, you said you've tried a lot of stuff. What is something you've done that has worked? And
well, I think that you're talking about the pass now, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I would say that, you know, some of our things, when you look at them, some of our man pressures and some of the things that we've done on third down, we've seen a higher percentage of success than other things we're doing. Our three-man rush, where we brought pressure off the three-man rush, that has been, you know, the numbers look good. But our four-man rush, that has not been where we need it to be, those numbers.
If it's not working, what's the detriment? I know that there's more risk when you blitz more, but if you're not getting anything out of the four, what's the detriment to not rushing more? To rushing more?
Saw it yesterday.
But it's not working the other way. So, I mean,
well, yeah, I mean, yeah, it was, I think in the first half where we were 6 for 7, they were 6 for 7 on third down. And in the second half, they were what, 2 for 6. In the second half. So some of the pressures, we got the sack cause fumble with Talvin, on a third down. That was good pressure. So there's benefit to it. And it was at a critical time. But they had the long run too. So you'd like to win some of them. Listen, there's going to be explosive plays that happen in a game. You know, you're going to have a team in offense. This is the NFL. If you sit down and look and the number of explosive plays, and it's growing by average across the league. So when you look at it and the team has 6 or 7 explosive plays, it can happen. It can happen in a game. Right now, I think we gave up 10 yesterday. That's too many. That's too many. And we've been keeping that number down somewhat. But now with 10 and some of those occurring on third down pressures, and, like I said, we tried 3, 4, 5. We're trying, you know, different ways of creating issues for the quarterback, and they executed.
Have you looked at other teams that blitz more and whether they're giving up a higher percentage or a higher number of explosive plays than teams that don't?
Yeah, I think that if you would look at, yes, we have, to answer that question. I think what I found out is blitzing and pressure doesn't automatically equate to sacks. It doesn't. It doesn't happen that way. But what it does do is it does equate to more hits on the quarterback. you know, that number jumps up when you look at it. What I've noticed with us is whether we four-man rush or whether we bring pressure, we're still to the equivalent of where we would be if we in the rankings. We brought four-man rush, here's where we rank. We bring more pressure, we still rank at that same spot. So it's not like if we go four-man to bring pressure, we would jump up compared to most teams. We're still that team, but we do get more hits on the quarterback when we do that in percentage-wise.
As a general rule, if you have one, what do you consider a maximum number of explosive plays you would want your defense to give up and what you would want your offense to
Right. I think the general rule of thumb is offensively, if you would ask, they would say if they can get over eight. That number, I think, has grown. I think before you would say, you know, six or less a couple of years ago. But I think the way the styles of offense are now, it used to be at the end of the season, 80 explosive plays in a year. You know, you'd see a team win that explosive battle defensively with 80. That's not the case anymore. It's getting closer to 100.
How much do you trust Jason Myers at this point?
Well, I trust him in field goals. I think he's done a good job there. You know, I don't know what his stat is. He's what, 22 of 26 22 of 26 in field goal attempts. And, you know, 85% somewhere in there. It's pretty good. I think, you know, compared to other people that have been here in their career, you know, if he continues that, that would be a good number. But it's the extra point. His percentage is 79% on that. It drops. So, you know, that's the part that, we need to get right.
How much thought was there to after the first one? You went for two. How much thought was there to just keep going for two because you're not making them?
No, it wasn't much thought after that one what to do. That one, like I said, I think I admitted last night that the chart said to kick the extra point. But at that point in time, I just felt like our team needed a little bit of energy and momentum to go their way and to get it back to where it was tied.
Eight extra points total last season. There were nine missed yesterday. Two guys, including yours, missed two. Have we reached a point where adjustments maybe have to be made in evaluation, analytics, or even expectations that these aren't gimmies anymore?
Well, I think everybody understands that, you know, you don't take it for granted or, you know, it's a play that I think everybody's paying more attention to and it's changing how you call the game or the decisions you make in games, especially when you miss one. So I think it's what it was added to or why it was implemented was to create more of that in the game, and it has.
Do you like the rule change?
Yeah, I'm good with it.
You think it's in his head?
No, I don't think so, because yesterday, you know, he missed the one, his plant foot was wrong, and then the second one, we just, you know, the whole snap procedure wasn't exactly what we had hoped.
Back to the defense, you've been trying all these different things. Are you concerned now, I mean, with four games to play, they're just... Sometimes
you're
just not fixed to do what you
do. No, it's not that point. I'm just talking about yesterday because we've shown some times when we've gotten some pressure, and sometimes it's based on the team. And so we can get it right. And those guys in there, they understand that, and they know we got to get it right. And, you know, affecting the quarterback, there's different styles of offenses that you played. We just weren't on our A game yesterday. We just weren't, you know, defensively. I mean, even times that we normally do some things, you didn't see that on tape, and you didn't see it in the game. And, you know, that's the part that hurts.
Well, you know Tuesday or Wednesday whether you have pause. Do you think that you'll be told by then whether he's out?
Well, I don't know. Right now they're in discussions. You know, he's meeting with the medical staff right now. So whatever they share with me.
So obviously he doesn't need surgery.
That's what he's meeting with him now.
How much would the cast restrict him?
I guess it would depend on what kind of cast and, you know, is it a club? Is it, you know, I think right away you look at the tackling part of it, getting off blocks.
Yep. Break the table.
He's just, you know, he's very knowledgeable. He picks things up really fast, very sharp, smart. You know, the thing with us is we just haven't seen him play much. We see him play on special teams, but, you know, in game situations behind the ball. We had him in the Senior Bowl. We watched tape on him when he was at Miami. But I think what we're impressed about is just how fast he's picked things up and just taking control of the huddle.
If he doesn't start, if Paz can play, will he start over Scoot? I mean, Scoot is hurt too. Will he start over Armbruster?
We'll discuss that. We'll talk about that. But he would not start over Scuda.
Yeah, I misspoke.
Yeah, that's all right.
What did you make of TJ yesterday in pass protection?
I thought he did really well. He did really well. I mentioned that earlier now. He did a good job running the ball, catching the ball, making people miss, and his protections. He had a really good day yesterday.
Learned about him this season?
Well, I think that, like we've mentioned before, that, you know, we thought we were getting a guy that would be a first and second down back. We'd hope that he would come along as a third down back, and he's exceeded that expectation.
You put Gerhardt on IR the other day, sort of a rocky 2 years here. Do you feel that first injury really set him back against Philly?
Well, I know he was frustrated. I know he's frustrated that he hasn't been completely healthy here during the regular season. And, you know, that part, I think he feels like he loves his team and the teammates. He wants to add to it, and he's not been completely healthy to do that. And that part is frustrating for him the last 2 years.
You said after wins and losses, including today, there are more plays maybe out there, and we got to get better at making them. Was the red zone yesterday the epitome of that, and why did it go so well for you?
Well, I just think that we executed. We set as tight windows and quick decision making, and I think that there was quick decisions made, and guys made plays. And you know, it's too bad that it, you know, there's some good and bad that it doesn't transfer on to the next week, right? It's a whole new challenge next week. Just like that's probably the good thing defensively. Hey, next week it's a whole new week, and the team that comes out there and plays, you know, hopefully this right here spurs some discussion, makes some corrections, and we get back to playing at least how we're capable of playing. To me, that was the frustrating part of it, was that we weren't our best. We talked consistently about improving and being at our best, and we weren't.
Are you saying that the defensive calls are okay, they're just not executing them well? Is that your message?
Well, no, I think we all take responsibility in it. You know, I think there's some things that we can do calls-wise defensively, and I think there's things the players can, you know, execute better. So it's a combination of things, but I understand what we're going through now when we're trying to do some different things to try to find a way to create pressure. You know, that changes some things. You know, if you're sitting there and you get a four-man rush, you say, okay, you know, I'm more apt to do these things. Well, in certain situations, you know, there was times when they were going to boot, and we brought an edge pressure right to a boot twice. You know, that's a pretty good call. That's a real good call. And, you know, it made them force and scramble and disrupt the play some. So, you know, but there's times we can do some different things and pressure. The last play of the game. You know, we brought two edge pressures. Cyprian hit them, you know, in a goal line situation. That's not how we normally do it. We brought two edge pressures. We hit them. We had a holding call trying to make a big play. That's good. That's a good call in that situation. So, but it's not perfect. It isn't perfect. But I think as we try to figure this out, you know, hopefully it'll, you know, become more clear to us.
I know you don't want to use it as an excuse, but you didn't have Sendarik, Fowler, Skuda, Coleman was playing hurt. Injury. At some point, do those factor into it or not?
Well, I mean, there's good players that you're talking about. So, you know, I'm not going to hide away from that fact. But guys got to step up. And I think you'll see across the league that when given the opportunity, guys do step up. And next thing you know, they're playing, they're starting, and they're doing some really good things. So that's where that opportunity presents.
Backups aren't stepping up then?
Well, I mean, consistently, yeah. I mean, they got to consistently perform. And, you know, I guess that's what happened a little bit at the auto spot, and that's why we made a change there. So
we need more depth in the defense overall.
Well, I mean, we got guys that are coming in and playing, you know, and stepping in, so they just got to perform now.
But is it, like, the honesty and reality of this is that you're not going to fix the defense until the offseason?
No, I wouldn't say that because, you know, I look at it and say, if we're not getting the pressure that we want, there's some scheme things looking there, but we can still tackle well. I mean, that doesn't take, you know, tackle well and play your responsibilities and be on your landmarks and play your coverage principles. And, I mean, that...
It's the same guys making mistakes week in and week out. You don't think we've... How many times have we sat here and said Grotz messed up? How many times we say Clemens and Branch aren't getting pressure? How many times do we say Paz isn't covering impact?
Well, that's because
you can't fix that.
No, that's because we sit here and talk more about the plays. You know, Grotz almost had a pick, the fifth play of the game. And we use a third technique. It's supposed to be the buzz player there. He plants and breaks, missed an opportunity for an interception. That's a good play. We can talk about that. You know, we can talk about some of these things the guys are doing. We don't talk much about six technique to run game on a cutoff block, you know, in a gun read situation. You know, we don't talk about, you know, those plays. So when you emphasize these things, yeah, I don't blame you. I can see how those things are brought up. But that's our job as a coaching staff to outweigh it and say, all right, what's the value loss and what does it bring by making some of these changes? And in some situations, we feel good about the guy behind him stepping in and playing and bringing that. And in other situations, we may not feel as strong about making that change because of the situation. So that's our job.
Thanks.
Thanks, Gus.
Thank you.
Okay.